This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Green and Gold Analyst. Yes, folks, I've been licking my chops about this. Been waiting for it all day. It's time to talk to Paul Imig.
Need the latest news and analysis on your Green and Gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold Analyst Paul Imig is brought to you by the Wisconsin Brewers Guild, Pints for Prostates. Want a chance to meet Green Bay legend John Kuhn and support prostate cancer research? Just download the Wisconsin Tap Chaser app for details.
And joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, we have called Paul. Paul Imig. What's going on, dude?
Kevin, I have binge-watched an entire new show since you and I spoke last 5 days ago. How do you think of that?
What? Are you on an entire show?
I mean, it was only 8 episodes of a season, but still, I mean, it's an accomplishment, right?
You have literally watched more in that little window right there than television than I've seen in probably months.
I'm telling you, man, one day you're going to come around to the idea that we're in the golden age of TV, Kevin.
Got to soak it up. Got to take advantage.
Right.
All right, Paul Imig. We got to talk a little Green Bay Packers here. Green and Gold Analyst Paul Imig is going to clue us in here on Packers at Washington Sunday. And so the topic has shifted a little bit now that we're into Wednesday, and it changed for the Packers. They didn't have that full practice. They went with a walkthrough instead today. Aaron Jones is back. Aaron Jones has not taken a regular season snap. Aaron Jones is supposed to be third on that depth chart. If he comes out and shows something good in Washington, how long does that last? A series?
Half time?
Yeah, right?
Half time, yeah. You know how I feel on Aaron Jones. I think he is their best runner. I don't know yet if he is as well-rounded as Jamal Williams in terms of Jamal Williams' ability to pass protect. And even Ty Montgomery, as we saw on Sunday, has gotten really good. I mean, he picked up a couple blitzes, even one from Harrison Smith, who's extremely good, if not the best safety in the league, on a blitz package, and even Ty Montgomery picked it up. So there's going to be, where Aaron Jones has to prove he is as complete of a player as Jamal Williams, and that, you know, even Ty Montgomery now, who's improving, that he can be that guy. But I'll be honest, I was really surprised to see the comment today from Mike McCarthy about, you know, Ty Montgomery and Jamal Williams being, you know, in the first slots, as he said. And then Aaron Jones kind of coming in behind him. So in behind both of those guys, I believe strongly, Kevin, that when Aaron Jones gets his chance, he's the breakaway guy in this group. I don't know if he's, in at least this season, going to be their most complete running back. But, man, if you get him outside the tackles especially, I think he's a breakaway type of talent. So to answer the original question, if Aaron Jones, you know, comes out and whether he gets 10 carries or 5 carries or somewhere in the middle or more than that, if he shows out with those snaps, whether it happens in week 3, week 5, week 10, I think he's this team's biggest home run threat. And I'm sure he'll see his snaps increase as he gets more and more removed from this 2-game suspension.
Let's do a little over-under here on Aaron Rodgers. Let's assume that Rodgers has relative health for this game this weekend that he had this past Sunday, that he's not appreciably better or appreciably worse, which is he's just sure. His magical Houdini self. The 42 pass attempts is what he had against the Vikings. What's the, if you have the same Rodgers Sunday, is it more or is it less?
Wow, good question. I would think less just because 42 is a pretty big number, but again, they were up, you know, in this game, and you would have thought that would maybe have decreased the passing snaps. So if the Packers, I think, can put Washington away, you would think that number would be lower. With Aaron Jones back and a bigger rotation at running back, I think you'd assume that number gets lower. How many did he throw against Chicago? You have it in front of you?
I can put, it's going to take me a second.
He missed so much of that game, so it's probably irrelevant. I wonder what his career average would be. You want to do some awesome quick mental math? dividing all his total pass attempts over how many games. But, I think they're going to incorporate the running game more. And, again, if they do get a considerable lead, which, like McCarthy said today, it's going to be a hot game. You know, you don't know how guys are going to perform. He said if Rodgers isn't appreciably better or worse. But 42 sounds like a lot, doesn't it?
It does to me. And I think there's that hope that this is a game where the Packers grab an early lead and then sort of, you know, deflate that thing a little bit. Just, you know, not worry about as many plays. By the way, it was 30 against the Bears. Even with the time missed, it was 30 pass attempts.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So
I guess you had to come back though, and even this game was probably skewed a little bit because they played 70 minutes of football and not 60.
Right.
So factors to include, I suppose.
Do you think this is the toughest matchup remaining for the Packers before the bye week? It's Buffalo, Detroit, San Francisco after this.
Yeah, I don't know if San Francisco is the one that would give me pause. It's certainly not Buffalo. Oh my gosh. and Kevin, I mean, you saw the video after the Bills game, right? Where Vontae Davis retired at halftime.
Yeah.
Is that, for me, that's a top three all-time sports story. Like, and just sort of like the commentary that was in the locker room afterwards. I know I'm totally deviating here, but I just couldn't get over how funny that was. It wasn't funny if you're in the Bills locker room, but for me at home in Wisconsin, I thought it was hysterical that they are so bad that he quit at halftime. Buffalo shouldn't. I mean, I just Detroit does not do anything for me. They didn't do anything for me before the season started, and they certainly haven't made things much better for themselves since then. I think San Francisco's a good team, though, Kevin. I think that could be as tough of a matchup. I just don't know if Washington is much to fear. But this kind of goes back to what you and I talked about not that long ago, and what's a realistic goal for this team in terms of record going into the bye week. And I said 5-1, which, by the way, is completely impossible now with a tie on the record. But I just think if you go through these next four games, you don't want to leave this next quarter of the season, these next four. You don't want to leave this part of the schedule 2-2, right? You have to go 3-1 in this stretch. And whether it's Washington on the road, that could be tough. If it is San Francisco, but I do think you have to get through this next four game stretch before the bye 3-1. And if one of the games trips you up, it's not, I don't want to say, well, it's okay, but hey, it does happen. It's the NFL. It's good competition across the league. But I do think you want to get through this little stretch here, 3-1.
So, yeah, now you've got my mind on this Bills halftime thing where it's like, Vontae Davis is like, you know what? I think I'm good, man. I think I've had a nice run, and I think I'm out. And then the coach is like, all right, let's go get him in the second half.
Right. How do you rally the troops after that, you know, where a guy just put on his street clothes and left? You know, what is Micah Hyde thinking, you know? All of these, like, you know, they share the same cornerback room. And Vontae Davis had a nice 10-year career, and I get it, you know. To some extent, I get it. But just one of the more fascinating things ever that when I saw that tweet come out, it said, you know, Bills are trailing at halftime by 20 points. P.S., Vontae Davis just retired. I'm sorry, he what? He retired. When? Just now, like at halftime. You know, like, what? It's one you have to file away in the long-term sports memory of, like, that really actually happened.
I'm still floored by that. That's why I think maybe there should be some sort of delay, but I think every halftime speech should be at least recorded. Maybe at the end of a season you release them. You could do, like, a, you know, postseason Hard Knocks with just nothing but halftime and post-game locker room stuff. That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
You'd have to probably do a lot of editing unless it was on HBO, but... I would love to see that. You know, and honestly, Kevin, and we'll kind of deviate here momentarily.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe some of the best stuff that happens, the most interesting stuff, the stuff that I think would make fans feel like the players they watch on TV are human beings just like them, is the stuff that isn't often shown or said publicly by players and by coaches. And I believe Hard Knocks is starting to break down and has broken down some of those walls where I think there's more advantage to a team being intimately recorded like that and seeing everything, you know, from the good to the bad to the ugly. I think there's more advantage to that than there is disadvantage because it breaks down some of the walls that I think make fans sometimes, you know, look at players as, you know, something other than human beings. And I just think there's a human element to it that gets missed sometimes when you kind of curtail media access. But then if you just get it behind the scenes and you kind of let the cameras and everybody see who these people really are, most of them are fascinating. You know, most of them have unique stories. And I think the more access, the better, you know, for the NFL's outlook. And the NFL has so much bad publicity right now between the rule changes and everything else that's going on that, if you put me in Roger Goodell's chair tomorrow, I increase access tenfold. And I just think it would do a lot of good things for the league. But that's my deviation for the day.
Amen to that. My vote to put you in that chair is officially cast.
Thank you.
Tell me the ballot box and I will throw it in there.
I'll take his salary too. Was it $50 million a year?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I would assume that would just come with it, right? It would be a 10% pay bump over where you are now. Okay.
Absolutely.
So all right. So back to Mike McCarthy and what he said today. And I'm gonna read this quote directly here. Talking about the rules changes, and you touched on this a second ago, and you know, McCarthy was asked about how you coach guys with the understanding of what's different and what the officials are going to call and that sort of thing. And McCarthy said, unfortunately, it's a process that's not clear, but hopefully we can get this thing cleared up. Just look at Mike Daniels' rush. It's affected the rush defenders, and you can't deny that. In these next few weeks, knowing that that's been a front and center play, what do you do as a defensive lineman? How do you avoid seeing what happened to Mike Daniels, who was literally just trying to avoid getting a penalty?
I don't know. The players don't know. I don't think in their truest heart of hearts the league knows. I don't think the officials know. You know, you have Brett Favre going on radio, and saying, like, to me what Clay Matthews did is a form tackle, a teachable, that's how you teach tackle. On the other side, you have the league saying, not only was that a well-called penalty by Tony Corrente, which give me a break, but that we're going to use that as a teaching film of how not to tackle. Kevin, I mean, like, are you kidding? Like, what do you want these guys to do? And again, it's easy for, you know, people in our chairs to speculate and to talk about it and to say, wow, isn't this going to be so difficult? But the players don't know what to do. The coaches who coach them how to tackle don't know how to coach them how to tackle, because it's evolving and it's changing. And like the things that they're saying these players are doing, like a scoop and lift, that is not what happened. Like, it's just not. I just don't know how, you know, an impartial party seeing that footage and seeing that film could say, yep, you know, he did something illegal. And I didn't say this the other day to Bill, but it's something that's been on my mind. I think the most defining argument for why Clay Matthews' hit on Kirk Cousins was not illegal is that watch the way Kirk Cousins reacts as he throws the pass. He doesn't look back. He's not looking for a flag. He's not looking at Matthews like, hey, what the heck? There's no part of Kirk Cousins, if you watch it, where he has a reaction that tells you, hey, man, that was a cheap hit. Hey, man, that was a late hit. Hey, you scoop and lifted. Hey, you drove me to the ground illegally. Cousins is not looking for a flag on that play, as I watched it. You know, he threw the interception. He thought that was the game. When you have the quarterback reacting in that way, who even he doesn't think that what just happened to him was a penalizable offense, you know something's wrong. And I think that's where you can sort of put the exclamation point on it for me.
That's the truth, man. That's absolutely every day and every call that we get, if it's experts, if it's callers just calling in, you know, the deeper this goes, the worse it feels about how next week looks and how the week after looks and how it looks in different cities around the league. Because it's like, this just happened. If you're somewhere else, if you're in Miami, this just happened in Green Bay and it's coming to your town too. And that's not good.
You know, and I know, and Kevin, I know we got to jump it, but like, it's one thing, it's easy to joke and say, well, why don't we just put flags on these guys and be done with it?
Yeah.
What, like, if we were to, like, poll the room, you know, and poll the audience, like, and I kind of did this on Twitter the other day, and, you know, got, like, 600-something votes, and this is where I think it's going. I think we are on the countdown clock to how long the NFL, which has been the sports giant of American sports culture for how long? I don't know, 15 years? Like, for sure, in the last, like, probably before, I don't know, 20 years, 25 years for sure that the NFL has kind of been king. I think we're on the countdown clock to it being surpassed in popularity and ratings by the NBA. I love Major League Baseball. I love Major League Baseball. But I think the NBA is on the fast track to passing NFL. I don't think it's going to be in the next 5 years, but I just think with all of this stuff and like the rule changes and people just realizing, like, even players not knowing how to play the game anymore defensively, that it's going to have a significantly adverse effect on where this sport goes. And I know it's not going to end with flag football, but it's going to end with a game that I just don't know what this thing is going to look like in 10 years. I have no idea what football professionally is going to look like in 10 years if this is the route that we're going down.
Paul, I appreciate the chats. We always appreciate our chats. We have good chats here.
We do. We great chats.
Paul, appreciate it, man. Enjoy it. We'll chat soon.
All right, for sure, buddy. See you guys.
Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.